My name's Mick Napier. I'm the official spokesperson for Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign. Currently, I face four charges conjoined into two trials. Three of them involve allegations of hate crime, i.e., hostility to Glasgow Friends of Israel. This is a group that posts on their Facebook page support for the white supremacist massacre of Muslims in the New Zealand mosques a couple of years ago, and gloat over Israeli forces euthanizing quote unquote Palestinians. So I'm charged with the hostility to them, i.e., Zionism and the crimes of Israel, but it's dressed up as a hate crime.
There seems to be a worrying trend going on in the court system. I mean, some are talking about it as a police state. We've just had the secretary of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign with no apparent connection whatsoever to any kind of direct action. Someone who's been organising marches, rallies, and things like that in Bristol City Centre arrested this week. The police, apparently. We're here today. Two and a half days later, may have just left his home, going through everything, going through all the communications he's been doing within the local PSC here in Bristol. We have no idea what he has or hasn't done, but the point is, the police seem to be going on fishing operations.
Yeah, I think the working assumption, Tony, ought to be he's done nothing, because that's the objective situation with lots of other people who've had dawn raids or late evening raids on their home. That's truly shocking, actually. That is overkill beyond overkill. So one waits to see what charges the prosecutor may come up with, but I'd bet money on it being either trivial. Or there's nothing there at all, and it's just a further example of legal harassment.
Yeah, I mean, it's also people talking about this as a kind of police state actually that's being ushered in here, where the police are not really interested necessarily in something that you've done which is serious, but they are more interested in gathering loads of information about your communications. Well, some are suggesting actually these communications are under surveillance by signals intelligence agencies like GCHQ, National Security Agency, Unit 8200 over in Israel as well. So they may be just saying, well, we've been looking at all of this communications and we think this guy, if we can arrest him, put them in jail, that will really disable the Palestinian support movement in Bristol, for example.
Yeah, it's been a bit uneven. I mean, the example in Britain, in Bristol, was absolutely shocking. It's maybe the worst I've heard. Although it's very uneven, tactics vary from just, harassing people, demanding that they turn their T-shirts inside out and then proceed on their way, charges, detentions for a few days or longer. It's very varied. But definitely, it comes from the top, and definitely, it's across the whole of Britain, wherever there is an active Palestine solidarity effort.
What do you make of the way the law's being enforced, though, in all sorts of different ways here? Because particularly with people being arrested, put on remand, although they're no danger to the public, for 18 months, possibly even longer.
It's absolutely sinister when you hear chatter on the TV about. They need to build more prisons because the current ones are overcrowded, and they're banging up non-violent political protesters who've never hurt anyone for maybe 2 years at a time. It's really grim. I don't think it's a police state. I think the police have just been given draconian extra powers. They abused the powers they had before this recent escalation, and they will abuse the powers they've been given. Going even further than those powers allow them to. We've seen coppers turning up to a guy in Kent who had about a bit of cardboard stuck in a lamppost about Israel and Gaza and a small megaphone, and up came two cops and said, "We've reason to believe you're a supporter of a proscribed terrorist organization. Give us your information." So, yeah, they've gone way beyond the new powers, but they've always gone beyond the powers with a nod and a wink from their superiors.
What about your past in the Palestine support movement? It's obviously gone up a notch or two or three or ten since the October the 7th.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we were a bit of a petri dish up here, Tony. I mean, not in terms of the massive fight against Corbyn and the Labour Party, which took the headlines for a very long time, and his alleged anti-Semitism that was absolutely without foundation. But up here, since 2008-9, it's the criminal law system that's been used to level charges of racism, of all sorts of charges. I mean, I've been charged with driving too slowly, violating COVID regulations, two charges of assault that were fit-ups, which were thrown out of court by sheriffs as soon as they saw the evidence or lack of evidence. So there's a deep collusion up here and presumably elsewhere between the police, the prosecutors, and the Zionist lobby, the pro-Israel lobby. And we've had to deal with that for the last 20 years, really.
Well, look, as a spokesperson for Scottish Palestine Solidarity, how do you think this is going down amongst the Scottish people?
It's difficult to tell. I mean, from everything we know, Israel has reached a stage, despite the militant support for Israel from political and corporate Britain, and the passive but very determined support from football associations, sporting bodies, schools, university authorities, city councils adopting the IHRA, and so on. Despite all that, there's no doubt at all, as a recent YouGov poll showed, right across Europe, support for Israel has gone down the tubes. I mean, it was always very much a minority concern. It was always very much the case that Palestinians enjoyed much greater popular support whenever you measured it. But even when the BBC measured it, they came up with the same results. But since the current genocide, Israel is off the scale in terms of hostility, loathing, and contempt through in the part of a great majority of populations. Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if it's a little bit like Donald Trump. It was like his popularity w rating went up the more there were prosecutions against him.
Well, that's a peculiar thing, isn't it? Because you have to remember, although Trump's a dog, he's coming to Scotland soon to play at his golf course, or one of his two golf courses here. So look out for the fireworks. But there, the alternative was either Trump or Biden. And a lot of people voted for Trump for racist reasons, America First, and so on. But a lot voted because he promised an end to perpetual wars, never-ending wars. And he was the anti-war candidate, if you could say that, certainly compared to Biden, who was always the candidate of the Democrats in permanent war. It's turned out, of course, that there was no choice whatsoever. And if you vote for an anti-war candidate like Trump, you get more war. But that I think that's a special case. Here, I think our state supports the genocide. The RAF is overflying Gaza, giving intel to the killers below. Israeli troops have been tr soldiers have been trained here in Britain as we speak to go back to the genocide. And if the state is so firmly aligned with that genocide, actively prosecuting it, I mean, the guy who was just elected rector of Glasgow University, a Palestinian doctor, he got 80% of the vote. He says, look, don't talk about Britain supporting the genocide. It's a full partner in an axis of genocide with Israel and America. Given that case, the media, mainstream media, swung on board, and the prosecution authorities are going to be aligned against us, against opponents of the genocide, and turning a blind eye to or supporting the proponents of the genocide. It's kind of natural. It couldn't be any other way.
Well, I wonder, because I do know journalists who are very disgusted by what the Israelis are up to. They're finding that legal advisors to Palestine Action, people who have been charged, and also just general Palestine supporters who haven't even been charged, lawyers are advising groups to say nothing to the press. So it's almost as if the police are dictating what's coming out from the media.
I couldn't comment on that. I mean, I don't really see too much difference between what the police are doing and what the BBC and Sky TV and so on are doing. I I mean, it's just full-throated support, repression by the cops. It can be petty or it can be extreme, as in the case of Bristol, but it's always repression. And from the media, well, it's just so tightly controlled. There's really, everything's done to try to reduce, although it's impossible to do it really, they try to reduce the horror of what Israel is doing in the, on public opinion.
Can you just give us a survey of what you think is happening on the home front? Because there's obviously a lot of support within the Crown Prosecution Service, within the specialists, anti-terror police in London, for Israel, and maybe the Israeli arms companies that are based here in the UK have more sway over what the police do and what the policy is than the public opinion does.
Oh, much more than public opinion, for sure. I mean, what you've got is a classic case of public opinion pushing up, if you like, finding channels, the pressure building up, as voices are silenced in universities and people get fired from their jobs in Bristol, but not just Bristol, and elsewhere. And that pressure somehow burst through. It burst through at a music festival, didn't it? It burst through in terms of, amazing support for NECAP and for Bob Villen. And it's very difficult for the authorities to put that cork back in a bottle. So the pressure has been maintained very fiercely, and it's beginning to break. I think it's a bit of an oil gusher. It's coming out, and it's going to continue to come out. I think the consensus is in peril. Because we've suffered the repression for so long, it hasn't broken us. It's people have kept on coming out month after week for the last 22 months of the genocide. They haven't gone away, and they show no signs of going away. Numbers may reduce and may fluctuate, but it's a constant now of politics, as is the normalization of genocide by the media and by corporate and political
Well,
commitment.
look, let's just finish in Gaza for a moment, because people there obviously are almost in despair now, having had to endure nearly 2 years. Is there any hope, Mick?
Well, it's easy to say no. The Israelis continue to massacre, murder, kill, maim, assassinate, and so on. But in Yemen, they're still firing missiles at Tel Aviv Airport. They're still sinking ships in the Red Sea. And I think Israel will always be defeated by overreach, military overreach, just as was Napoleon. There may be a rule of war, don't march on Moscow. But there's another rule that says don't, a small country of 7 million people, even with the most advanced technology, don't try and take on 600 million people. And the poorest country in the Arab world, the Yemenis, are giving Israel a run for their money. Trump bombed them, but he's pulled away and he's left the Israelis to face them on their own. And the Yemenis show no sign of giving up. They're just not. So is there any hope in Gaza? Viewed by itself, the Israelis are just killing a tremendous killing spree. But the Palestinian resistance is still killing Israeli soldiers last week. They haven't been defeated, and that David against Goliath will be taught in staff colleges around the world, as the most extreme example of how the superior military power in a colonial war, America and Vietnam, France and Algeria, blah blah blah, it's not the one that can do all the killing that wins. It's the ones that can absorb that terrible punishment and keep on going. The Algerians, the Vietnamese, and so on. 3 million Indochinese dead, but they won. So I think there's hope. I understand some people may not see it, but I think the lesson of history, it's not a get, the lessons of history is that the Palestinians can win, but they can't win on their own. There's something special about this situation. They can't defeat the EU, America, Britain, etc. It's the Arab regimes in Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, and so on. They can't beat them, but I think they can win. So I think there's hope there in the absolute, what's the word I'm looking for? Rewriting the rules of war that the Palestinian resistance have done in Gaza.
Look, one area where a lot of people are really despairing is with the United Nations and the System for International Security. No peacekeeping force been sent in there to protect the gardens in their own land from these Iranian. I mean, isn't this really the end for the UN as a credible force in the world?
Well, when you look at the history of the UN, it's very unedifying. They didn't stop the genocide in Rwanda. They haven't stopped the atrocities that are taking place around the world, from Myanmar to the Congo. They're largely irrelevant. But having said that, from time to time, some of the people who work for the UN produce reports that say Israel's an apartheid state. Israel's committing extermination, said one major UN committee, against the Palestinians. So the stuff emerges from there. But the system after the Second World War was victor's justice, and it was designed to give America, Britain, France, and Russia an absolute veto over anything that the UN can do. Absolute, but not maybe not absolute, but pretty much pretty close to absolute. So yeah, it's never going to be part of the solution. I mean,
No.
Palestinians would welcome UN troops in Gaza, I suspect,
Yeah.
but there's no sign of it because America won't allow it, nor will
Okay.
Britain or France.
I mean, we mentioned a couple of times the twisted view we're getting in the mainstream press. Any final recommendations of websites, news sites, or whatever to go to get some good information about what's happening over in the Middle East?
Oh, you're spoiled for choice. I mean, Electronic Intifada, including their weekly podcast, is an absolutely brilliant source. Mondo Vice, right, watched critically, there's no comparison between Al Jazeera and the British mainstream media. There's intelligent voices galore there. It aims for journalistic balance, but it does so in a way that the British media have long since abandoned. I mean, I often say the Israelis have killed 100 journalists, but somebody in Britain has killed mainstream journalism. But there's lots of sites, Grey Zone, Mondo Vice, Al Jazeera, Electronic Intifada, and so much more. Yeah.
Okay, Mick Napier, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tony.